The day of the MiFID, the huge and possibly scary new legislation that now governs European markets.
The actual documentations contain 1.7 million paragraphs of new and updated financial rules. It's a significant piece of work to digest.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. If you were listening yesterday, you might have heard about those new rules that come into force today to regulate European markets. MiFID 2 rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? Aims to make financial markets more transparent. But some fear this massive legislation, the biggest in Europe since the financial crisis, will drive up costs. I asked Matthew McLaughlin, head of trading at Lion Trust Asset Management, who the winners and losers will be.
It's cost a lot of money to implement and become MiFID II compliant. Now, when the costs are this high, sometimes you can create barriers to entry to the market. When this happens, then sometimes you can suffer from maybe a lack of innovation or lack of competition, which in turn can cause costs to increase in the long term as a market-wider issue, such as commissions rising or fund management fees increasing over the long term, which is something we'll keep an eye on.
But the idea here is to make trading more transparent. And that's good, isn't it?
It is good. I think transparency will be one of the main gains for MiFID II. And that's for clients, for example, looking at the breakdown of what their fees and cost structures are. And for traders like myself, looking at our trades. And you can look down into the 100th of a second print and all of the trades in the market to see how you performed and then how we can perform better in the future. So the transparency is going to be one of the key factors for MiFID II.
And in terms of readiness, we were hearing grumblings as the rules came into force that a lot of markets around the world who need to be in sync, if not fully compliant, were not there yet.
I'd like to think a lot of people are ready, but not everybody is yet. I think we're going to see a lot of people getting ready over the next few weeks. But as I mentioned earlier, the costs are so expensive and also resources. It's hard to get them in place, even if you do have the money sometimes.
Matthew McLaughlin of Lion Trust Asset Management. Let's do the numbers. European markets are reacting well to the introduction of the new rules. Germany's DAX is up 33 points or 0.26%. France's CAC is up 15 points or 0.28%. In Asia, markets were mixed. Hong Kong Stock Exchange closed up 0.6% or 24 points. Now, the third time wasn't a charm for Ant Financial, a payment and credit subsidiary of Chinese technology giant Alibaba. The firm was trying to purchase U.S. money transfer company MoneyGram for an estimated $1.2 billion. But the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S. rejected the deal after three reviews failed to satisfy regulators. The BBC's Christine Ha has more from Singapore.
It's yet another deal with a Chinese company that the Trump administration has rejected. Now, Ant Financial is the payments and credit subsidiary of Alibaba Group, which is the Chinese tech giant run by Jack Ma and essentially China's Amazon, PayPal and eBay all rolled into one. According to sources close to the discussion, the deal was rejected over concerns about the security of Americans' data. Now, this is the most high-profile rejection of a Chinese takeover of an American firm, but it is definitely not the first. Last year, the U.S. blocked the sale of Lattice Semiconductor, which makes advanced computer chips, to Chinese-backed Canyon Bridge Capital Partners, signs that the U.S. is toughening up its stance towards China. In Singapore, I'm the BBC's Christine Ha for Marketplace.
President Trump has threatened to cut aid to Palestine and Pakistan. The reaction in both countries has been defiant. Pakistan's U.S. aid money spiked after 9/11. The BBC's Haroon Rashid is in Islamabad. Haroon, let's look at the numbers. President Trump's tweet said $33 billion in aid over the past 15 years. Now, Pakistan's government disputes that.
Yes, it does. The problem is with the $13 billion included in these 33. Pakistan says that these $13 billion were paid for the expenses Pakistan incurred on military operations against the militants bordering Afghanistan. So it is not aid. It is actually the expenses that it incurred. The remaining $20 billion is the aid that Pakistan got as civilian support and as military support. But Pakistan says that overall damages to its economy because of this so-called war against terrorism has been over $100 billion.
Does Pakistan accept the criticism that Washington isn't getting its money's worth, that Pakistan needs to step up action against terrorism?
Well, Pakistan says, I mean, it has done what needed to be done. The new narrative that Pakistan is building is saying that it doesn't want to wage another war for somebody else inside Pakistan. But the real bone of contention is Americans' allegations that there are Haqqani network militants inside Pakistan. There are anti-India militants who are operating freely in Pakistan. The government is saying that it is gradually dealing with them, but it will take time.
Now, President Trump has followed through on a lot of his campaign promises to pull the U.S. out of trade deals. What happens to Pakistan's budget if he does withdraw the $255 million in aid that he mentioned?
This would not be the first time Pakistan had the experience in 1979 when it started its nuclear program. And in 1998 as well, when Pakistan carried out its first nuclear experiment. The second one did had impact and Pakistan's economy was affected. But the Pakistani officials are saying that they are not relying much on American aid. Chinese support to Pakistan makes Pakistan more confident that if Americans do go for sanctions, that the Chinese would be there and their investment would help them out with budgetary constraints they might face because of American sanctions.
The BBC's Haroon Rashid in Islamabad. Finally, Iceland already tops the world for gender equality. Now it's become the first country to enforce equal pay. Now, lots of countries have equal pay laws. But companies in Iceland will now have to certify that they're paying men and women the same or face fines. Now, don't forget Equal Opportunity Listening on our podcast anywhere, anytime. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.